Hi everyone, and thank you very much for joining us on another episode of Lid Publishing's podcast, Lid Radio. My name is Miro, and I will be your host for today's show. With me today is Michael Gallagher. How are you today, Michael?
I'm very good, thank you.
It's great to have you here on the podcast, and of course for our listeners, Michael's career reflects his passion for recognizing achievement across the diverse spectrum of business. He is also the founder of the Stevie Awards back in 2002. He is a Bachelor of Arts from Fordham University in New York City and a Master of Business Administration from George Mason University in Fairfax, Virginia. We're very, very pleased to have him today on the podcast, and thank you very much for taking the time.
My pleasure. It's great to be back in London.
Great. And you've caught us at, I think, quite a reasonable time of the year in terms of weather. It's usually a lot colder in January than it is right now.
Well, I was at a meeting this morning and someone asked me, is it raining outside? And I said, well, it seems to be one of those days where the street is always wet, but it never actually rains. And she said, well, that's London.
Yeah, it feels like there's a layer of damp that we just can't get rid of.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's one for the listeners. If you can actually figure out why that's happening, I'm sure there's someone that's very into the London weather, considering it's number one topic of discussion in any office. But anyway, I digress. Today's podcast is one focused on the theme and topic of events and, of course, the Stevie Awards. And my first question for you, Michael, is actually, what was the inspiration behind the Stevie Awards, and what was the idea when you decided to go ahead with it?
Well, the eureka question I asked myself in early 2002 is, why isn't there an Oscars for business? And what led me to that, to be able to ask myself that question, was I had worked for 6 years back in the 1980s, a couple of years after I got out of university, for a very small company in New York City that put on advertising awards and television awards and radio awards and film awards, lots of different awards programs. And I cut my teeth there and learned how to put on awards programs. And one of the things you take for granted if you're in and around media awards, for any sort of media, is that at some point in your career, someone will invite you on stage to receive a trophy, because there are so many different awards programs in the media industries. And when I left that sphere, and I moved to Washington, D.C. in the late 1980s and got into a different career, and it struck me that there weren't nearly as many opportunities for people in other fields, salespeople, chemists, engineers, et cetera, to receive that type of recognition. And I thought, well, why is that? Why is it that film stars and television stars, you know, every night of the week can be called to pick up another award, but people who work much harder and, frankly, do much more valuable things don't have the same opportunity? So I thought, well, the world kind of needs a business award. And at the time in the early 2000s in the U.S., there were all these business scandals, Enron and WorldCom and these other companies. And most of the business press was fairly negative. And I, being a student of business, I knew that, you know, the world is peopled with millions and millions of people that go to work every day with honorable intentions and doing wonderful and innovative things. And the press wasn't talking about them. They were only talking about the handful of ne'er-do-wells. So it sort of struck me that the world needed a business Oscar to celebrate, you know, all that's good in the world of work. And I had the experience, and I was at the point in my life where I wanted to do something different and on my own. And I thought, well, I can do it. And I started the Stevie Awards.
Great. And the Stevie Awards have been going on for quite a lot of years now. And
yes, we're in our 16th year.
Yeah, they've gathered a lot of traction along the way. But in your opinion, what do you think was the most rewarding part of organizing such an event and have it go on for such an amount of time? Is there any part of it that really struck out for you?
Well, people have said to me, in fact, new employees often say to me, once they've been through an award cycle with us, and right from the beginning of an event where we solicit nominations right through the award ceremony, they generally come back from the award ceremony, they say to me, you must feel so good about the impact you have on the world, and you know, you're really changing people's lives doing this. And I say, I have to admit, I don't even think about it anymore. We're so busy, because now we have seven different Stevie Awards programs, we're so busy doing it, I really don't stop to reflect on the impact that it has on people. But I do know that it makes a difference. It makes a difference for young companies to win a major award. It's a branding tool for them. We've had winners tell us that their sales doubled after they won a Stevie Award. We've heard about the personal impact it has on people's careers when they're on a team that wins a Stevie Award. And when I hear those kinds of things, That is very rewarding for me.
Great. And I want to focus on something there. And you mentioned the actual diverse range of the awards and all the different sectors and aspects that go into it. And that's something the Stevie Awards are known for, the diverse range of awards. How did you go about on deciding the categories, and what was the research part of that, actually coming up with the right sectors and the right names?
Well, the very first Stevie Awards program I created was the American Business Awards, which is the oldest one, which is in its 16th cycle now. And I wanted to design that program so that it would recognize achievement in every facet of the workplace. And that had to include basically every function: marketing, product development, human resources, support functions like engineering or administration. It really had to include everything. So from the executive suite to the loading dock at the plant, there had to be some number of categories to recognize achievement. I remember there were people at the very beginning when I told them my plan for the Stevie Awards, they thought it was ludicrous that we would have categories to recognize people other than the top management at a company.
Right, right.
That only the top management should be recognized. And again, being a student of business, that is completely ridiculous. There, you know, there are so many people doing innovative things who are not in top management, or, you know, the teams that are, you know, just doing really good things. And why shouldn't they have, you know, their quote unquote Oscar moment to be celebrated for that? You really need a lot of categories to, if the goal, as it was, is to recognize achievement in every spectrum, not only in terms of functions, but in industries as well.
Yeah, and before we move on, there was something there that you mentioned that I found really interesting, and that was the idea of the person at the top really receiving the award. And there's so many people out there doing so many different things which are just as impactful or important. Why do you think that they perhaps didn't have the recognition beforehand? What was the reason behind it? Was it more of a, you know, the person at the top was simply the one that people associate with a company, or was there something else within a culture perhaps?
Well, every company is different. And every company, even within an industry, is different. If you look at companies of a certain size in a given industry, say the pharmaceutical industry, you can take, you know, five companies of roughly the same size and look at their cultures, and they will all be completely different. One may have a culture where it's accepted that they submit nominations for awards programs. The second one, their policy may be, we just don't participate in the awards programs. The third one may be, we will participate in awards programs, but we don't nominate individuals. We won't even nominate individual executives. We will only nominate the teams we either win together or not at all. So when you run on awards programs like ours, you have to recognize that every company is different. And when we approach a company, either by email or telephone, and we invite them to participate, and if their response is, we just don't do that, and that in many cases that's what it is, we have to respect that. That's the culture of business. Every business is different, and, you know, part of the service that we provide is recognizing that.
Right. And I'd like to focus a bit about on you, as you've given us all this really insightful knowledge when it comes to organizing something like this. But you have a great background when it comes to traveling and actually experiencing this very business culture across the world, you know, not necessarily just in the US. And in your opinion, what is the most important and outstanding qualities that a leader should be possessing?
I think if the leader is going to be a leader of an international company that does business across borders, you have to be worldly. You have to travel. You have to recognize the cultural differences. But as we've seen over the past 20 years for, you know, companies like Apple and Google, companies that, you know, have been somewhat world-changing, the leaders of those companies were successful because they had a vision of where the world could go, and they took the world by the hand and led it there. You have to walk a fine line between being perceptive and sensitive and receptive to cultural differences and business norms around the world. And on the other side of the line, you've got to be a visionary bully, in a sense, to be able to say, this is where the world really needs to go, and I'm going to drag you all there with me.
Right, right. And as we're on that topic, I guess my question that follows up is, out of all of the events that you've been a part of and all of the award ceremonies that you've come across, you know, across the world and organized, is perhaps any one of them really close to you? Was there one, or perhaps a particular part of one, that really sort of made you reflect and perhaps learn something new?
Well, we do, as I said, we do 7 different Stevie Awards programs. Several of them are geographic. We have the American Business Awards, which is open to organizations in the USA. We have the German Stevie Awards, just for Germany. The Asia Pacific Stevie Awards, which focuses on innovation in the 22 nations of the Asia Pacific region. The International Business Awards, which is an omnibus program with lots of different categories open to every organization around the world. And then we have some that are specialized. We have the Stevie Awards for Women in Business among those. And that, of the 7 events we do, is the most fun and the most rewarding. Now, when I say event, we differentiate an event from the entire business awards program, because the program is a complete cycle from when we open up the call for entries and we solicit nominations from around the world. We recruit judges, the judges review the nominations, we announce the winners, and then we celebrate the winners at an event. So the event is really just the culmination. But of the events we do, the Stevie Awards for Women in Business is the most rewarding, because women are, when you get 500 women in a room, they're very supportive of one another, and much more so than in a mixed crowd or a crowd of just men. They really want to celebrate one another's achievements. They're very collegial. And they really want to network and get to know one another. And women give much better acceptance speeches than men do. If you put a man on stage and say you've got 30 seconds to say thank you, a man will basically take 30 seconds to say thank you. If you tell a woman she's got 30 seconds to speak, she will somehow tell her whole life story and how she got to the point where she's been recognized in 30 seconds. And listening to women give acceptance speeches for 2 hours is much more rewarding than listening to men give acceptance speeches for 2 hours.
Yeah, that sounds fascinating. And for our listeners, if there is a lady out there that has narrowed this presentation to an art in 30 seconds, please let us know. We'd love to get you in on here for a very quick 30-second or so podcast where you can actually tell us how do you do that, because that is absolutely amazing.
Well, I think women have more practice in telling their life story in 30 seconds.
Great. And the final question is the one that I ask anyone that comes on the podcast, and that's, what are you currently reading?
Well, it's funny you ask that question, because last year I read 50 books.
Wow.
And I had never read close to 50 books in a year before, usually 20, 25 books. But I set a goal at the beginning of last year to read 50, and I managed to do it. I finished the 50th book, I think, on December 29th. And I wrote an article that I wound up publishing on my Facebook feed a couple of weeks back about how I did that and how anyone this year could read 50 books if they chose to do that. One of the ways I did that was I started to listen to audiobooks, mostly in settings where, and before, I had listened to music, maybe on the jogging path or in the car on the way to the office. And of those 50 books I read, 15 I actually listened to, and they were mostly nonfiction, biographies, history, economics, business. So I fell into the practice of listening to nonfiction and reading fiction. I limited the number of long books. I think of the 50 books, probably only 4 of them were more than 600 pages last year. And I saved the really short books. You know, if there was a book like Ian McEwan's latest novel, which I think was about 220 pages, I picked that up and I said, I'm going to save that one for December. I want to save the short ones for December, because if I get to December and I've read less than 45 books, I'm going to want a bunch of books that are pretty short. I can finish off the year. I can tell you some of the better books I read and listened to last year. I think the best biography I read last year was called The Man Who Designed the Future by B. Alexander Zirlip. And it's a biography of Norman Bel Geddes, a man I'd never heard of before. He was the leading theatrical designer in New York in the 1920s, the teens in the 20s. And then he became an industrial designer after that, and he designed airplanes and helicopters and automobiles and furniture. He was one of the leading industrial designers of the first half of the 20th century. He designed the iconic General Motors exhibit, The World of Tomorrow, at the 1939 World's Fair in New York. He really was a creative Renaissance man. And if you like reading stories about people who are good at everything, it's a great book about someone who I'd never heard of before. And he was the father of the actress Barbara Bel Geddes.
Wow. Wow, that's fascinating. And of course, we'll have links in the description below where you can go and you can find out more about that book. It sounds like some great stuff, and you've given us a very informative way of actually going through our backlog of reading list. I mean, mine is never ending, so I might just have to try this out and see how I get on.
The only sacrifice I made last year, I thought I would have to give up some of my other activities. Really, the only thing I had to give up to be able to read 50 books was I watched less television. That was about it.
Sounds like a good trade to me.
Yes.
And with that, of course, I would like to thank you very much for joining us today, Michael. It's been an absolute pleasure.
My pleasure to be here. Thank you.
And of course, to everyone listening, if you liked what we talked about today, in the description below, you can find out everything about the Stevie Awards, how you can find more information, you can find out more about each award, how you can participate, and of course, all relevant information. And of course, as always, I would like to thank you very much for joining us on today's podcast. You can find us on all social media channels at Lit Radio. And once again, we very much look forward to seeing you next week.